Ready for Freddy. Good morning, everybody. Wagwan, Richie. You're all right, man. That's it. That's all. I'm sorry. I've been practicing in the mirror, man. That's the best I could do. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Happy New Year number two. Second week. Very thrilled. This morning, we've got our systems working together. Hey, I pressed the button. It's all working together. I'm going to talk to you about the Ten Commandments, again, as I picked up before. But before that, I want to give you a sense of where we are headed. Because last week and during our time of prayer, there they are. I was looking for these earlier. So I couldn't see the chords I was singing. I was guessing the whole time, right? Last week, when we had our time of prayer, God really spoke to us. And we went from the wilderness into the promised land, right? And I think that for sure that's where we're headed, right? You go to the wilderness so that you can be used by God, so that we can find our purpose, so that we can know why we are living. In fact, when we come to church, why do we come to church? We come to receive from God, but so that then we can live. And so we can do God's bidding and God's business, right? And whether you're young or whether you're old, it's the same, because our children have to find Christ, and then they have to live Christ in their schools and so forth. And then you're at work, and God wants you to live out the kingdom of God. And then in our families, you know, we're fighting. You know, as soon as you become a Christian, you're fighting for the rest. Thank you, Shirley. Thank God bless you. You're fighting for your family. We're fighting to see our brothers and our sisters and our cousins and our moms and dads sometimes and our uncles and our siblings to come to know Christ. Because in the end, this world is only temporary, right? But the world that we're heading to is the great one. And if you like something here, this is just a taste, right? So I wonder, if there's ice cream in heaven, what will it be like? You get me? Now, I'm not sure, you know, but the walls of Jericho will definitely fall down, right? Because their ice cream won't be, that's a bad joke. Anyway, right? So that's why we're here, and that's what we're doing, right? We're getting encouraged. We're hearing from God. Every time we meet with God, God doesn't he? Right? You kind of feel low a little bit, or you feel like you can't make it. You go, man, I'm struggling to get to church, my kid. Then you get here, and we start singing, and we start worshiping, and something starts happening in your spirit. Right? And our spirit man should dominate our normal person, right? You know, you got your body, you got your soul, you got your spirit, you've got this, there's you, we make the decision, and so forth. But really, what's inside us, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God that's come alive, that's what wants to dominate, that's what we need to let dominate, right? I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we say pray, you don't feel like praying, do you? But when you do, you feel empowered, don't you? So there's a war. There's something that goes, I don't want to pray, but there's something that goes, I do. You get me? And you got to let the I do beat the I do nots, if you get what I mean. So we're here so we build up, so we get strong, so that we can live. And so we make the right choices. Some of us made wrong choices and things went bad. Well, hey, the closer we get to God, the better our choices become. Right? And then we find out that even when we did bad things, God turns around and make them good. That's pretty good. Right? That idiot wife of yours, you can deal with her somehow, right? That crazy husband, you can deal. Those kids that are acting up, God has a way of dealing with them when we let him, you see? So we come here so we get strong so we can do what God needs to do. So I need to just take you a little bit. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to do this, because in order for us to get to Joshua, in order for us to get to this place, we've got to really understand some principles that are in this wilderness. And remember, they were in the wilderness from the book of Exodus all the way to the book of Deuteronomy, right? So I'm not going to literally go through every single verse, right, of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But what I am going to do is I'm going to help you to understand what's there. I'm going to highlight some bits, right? And then I'm going to give you an itch so that you want to look yourself, right? I'm going to give you a taste, okay? So we're going to look at 10 commandments. We're going to finish those off, right? The laws, the judgment, the precepts, the statutes. And I mentioned this before. I'll say it again. Just being a nice person isn't enough. Just because you're a nice person, God isn't going to change the rules. You get me? He'll put up with me. He's gracious. But he expects us to do. He's God, people. He's God. We are not God. He is. We don't pick what we want to do, and then he blesses it. He's the ruler. And if we do what he wants us to do, he'll do what we can't do. And that's the way it works. That's the way it's true, right? You do God's will. You understand what he intends for you. That's what the covenant is, right? So we're going to look at these Ten Commandments and get the sense, because what you're going to find is everything in the Ten Commandments is in the New Testament. All of it. Every single bit. It's in the New Testament, okay? Then after that, we're going to look at the tabernacle. We're going to have a quick look. I'm not going to take you through it. I'm not going to go through all the principles. In fact, I have literally a model I was going to make of the tabernacle so you can actually see what it looks like and bring it in here. But I haven't made it yet, right? I got it from Israel. I've had it for like 4 years. In fact, I also have a model. I had a model of the temple, and I gave it to Les, and Les has it in his house. He did it like about 4 years ago. That's how long ago it's been since I've done it, right? But we're going to look at the tabernacle, and the tabernacle is all to do with worship, right? Because that's what they learned in the wilderness. They learned to worship God, and that's why he set up this thing called the tabernacle, so they could worship God. Last week, we heard about the presence of God and God being in the center, and that's what we need. God in the center. He's the one that makes me able to do what I need to do. Then, we're going to look at the priesthood. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but that's all those things in the book of Leviticus, the end of Exodus, and so forth and so on, where they do the priests. And what I'm going to do is I want you to understand the importance of leadership. So I'm going to highlight these. I'm not going to take you all the way through them, but I'm just going to give you some tidbits, okay? Then, after we do that, we're going to look at the numbering of the people, right? And this is where God prepared them for war, where he organized them and set them up. All of this happens in the wilderness, all of it. God prepares you for war. Because folks, whether you like it or not, we are in a real war, right? And it's not against flesh and blood. There are principalities. A principality is a ruler in a region, a prince, right? There are evil rulers. There are spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places, and they're smart. They can't control you by force. You have to obey them. And so our whole world is all about who you're going to obey. Are you going to follow God, or are you going to follow something else? And there's a whole bunch of something else out there. There's a whole bunch of people going to tell you about sexuality and what you're supposed to do. There's a whole bunch of people going to tell you about your children and how you're supposed to raise them. There are a whole bunch of people going to tell you about who you are, right? In terms of what you are and so forth, right? So it's really important that we understand that we're in a fight. And it's very important that we understand the necessity to organize and to obey instructions. You know, one of the problems we have in our world today, we don't like instructions anymore. Everybody wants to have a piece and have a go. Everybody thinks they know. In fact, everybody's telling us, you know, you've got it within you. And whatever, you know what's funny to me? When my son was born, and we first, you start off with a brand new baby, and you ask the nurses or you ask the doctors, so what do you do with him? They say, oh, do whatever he wants. I'm sorry, that's rubbish, right? That's rubbish. If you give your kid whatever they want from the time they're born, you got some serious problems. Serious problem. The sooner you train them, the better. But they're told that because they can't say it, because if they do say that, then it's not politically correct and they can get fired. Whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. You get me? And so we start off with whatever we want. And we whatever we want right to hell. That's what we do. That's what we do. So we've got to learn the necessity of organization and instruction. Also, the 12 spies. I want to have a look at that too, right? We've got to have faith. So we're going to talk about all. So all of this I want to handle this year before we get to the promised land. All right? All these things are very, very important. So So far, we've looked at the first two commandments. We looked at idolatry, didn't we? And we looked at graven images. And if you want some notes, I think we've still got them available if someone wants them. Or I even think we might be putting this on the website. I don't know if we do. I'll let you know if we do. What do you say, Sean? Is that possible? Huh? Okay. All right. So that way we can look at it again. Because that's firstly, I think these things are very important. Okay? Now, today we're going to talk about commandment number 3. Very simple. Using God's name in vain. This is what it says. Whoops, did I go too far? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments. How about that? What does that mean? There's the question. What does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? Well, let's see if we can look at this, okay? Here's another verse. In the book of Leviticus, that you find that in Exodus and in Leviticus, they begin to identify and explain the Ten Commandments in a lot better. And this is what it says. It says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely." I underline that on purpose. "Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So, it says, you shall not swear by my name falsely. This is what it means when it talks about thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. "Nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord." So let's look at this. First of all, what does it mean, swear by my name falsely? Okay? Here we are again in the book of Numbers, chapter 2. "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Right? So, if you make a vow to the Lord, or you swear an oath, you got to do it. Very simple, huh? Let me show you another one. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4, maybe verse 5, 2, and verse 6. It says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fill it. He has no pleasure in fools." And by the way, it's really important to understand what a fool is in the Bible. A fool is a person without God in their thinking. All right? So when you don't have God in your thinking, you're acting foolishly. Isn't that interesting? Because haven't we made foolish decisions in our lives before? Haven't we? You go, "Oh, stupid." Yeah? What we're really saying is that was a foolish thing to do when God isn't in my thinking. You see? So it says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in people who are making rash things." That's what he's saying. "Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fill it." Fulfill it. That's true, isn't it? So that means what we need to do is we need to think about what we commit to and think about what we say. Look at this. "Do not let your mouth lead you into sin." By the way, I used a slightly different translation on this one because I like the way it did better. "And do not protest to the temple messenger." In other words, when you've gone to the temple to make this vow, do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the works of your hands?" So, we can see, when we're talking about swearing by my name falsely, and I think it's really important to understand too, we're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Let me explain something to you. Jehovah's Witnesses will not, in court, put their hand on the Bible when it says, "You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God." They won't do that. Because they think that this says you're not supposed to make vows. That's not what it says. It doesn't say you shouldn't make a vow. It says you should keep it. And the idea of this is being truthful. You see? That's the whole concept of swearing by my name falsely. And what it's actually suggesting is when I am not being truthful, I am really taking the name of God in vain. When I'm making an oath, when I'm saying I commit something and then I'm purging myself, God's going to hold me accountable for that. Okay? Now, here's another one. Profane the name of your God. What does that mean? Profane means to defile, to pollute, to make common. Or in other words, you just make it as nothing or dishonor. So you can defile the name of God. You can pollute the name of God. You can make it common. Or otherwise, act like it doesn't mean anything. Oh, I swear to God. I swear to God. Right? Or you can dishonor his name. And those are things we have to pay close attention to. There are three ways, at least, that I can see to do this, okay? The first way is by misuse of his name. Now, why is this such a bad thing? Misuse of, you know, people, oh, Jesus. You hear it all the time. Oh, God. Everybody's saying it these days, aren't they? Right? Do you know we do this all the time in our culture? Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Yeah? All the time. Because let me tell you something. Your name identifies you. Your name is very, very important. Let me give an example. How many of you have heard of Apple? Yeah. I didn't say an apple. I said Apple. Yeah. Yeah? When you think of Apple, nowadays, we think of computers, don't we? Yeah? And let me ask you something. When you think of apples, isn't there a sense that you feel like there's a sense of quality to that thing as compared to the other guys? You see what I mean? So, if Apple comes along and you say, this is an Apple computer, and it's rubbish, it ruins their reputation. So if you do something in the name of Apple and they don't like it, guess what's going to happen? They're going to sue you. Right? You know why they're going to sue you? Because you've misused their name. Now are we making sense? Have you ever heard of orange? Look, we're talking about fruit, right? I remember when orange first came out, it had a black sign all over the places with orange on. I had no idea what it was. Do you remember? They called that a tease campaign. They put up things all over the place, orange. And they said something like, the world is simple, the world is orange, or something like that, right? And so you're going, orange, what is it? What is it? And the whole time you're wondering, and when they finally launch, you went, oh, it's a network. Right? And so their name, now when you think of orange with a black thing in the back and orange letters, you think of a phone company, don't you? Yeah? So the name has to do with the character of the one named. Am I making sense? By the way, who do you name your kids after? Any of you name any of your children after someone else? Any of you? Have any of you done that? Now, if you did that, generally speaking, you did it because that person meant something of you. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you have names you thought, I'll never name my kid that? Huh? Do you have names like that? Uh-uh. Gertrude. I hope there's not a Gertrude in it. I'll never name my kid Gertrude, right? And why you do that? Because you don't like Gertrude. Because Gertrude is that person that you can't stand. Right? And so you don't want your kid's name associated with that person. Guess what? When my parents named me, they named me after my dad. So I'm Freddie C. Roberson, the next one, the junior. You get me? That's what junior means. Some of y'all put junior as your first name. Now, I don't understand that, right? But I'm named that. My niece, her name is Kathy. She's named after my mother. She's the firstborn of all of our grandchildren, female. And they named after my mother. My oldest sister is named Eva. She's named after my great aunt, right? My next sister is named Lessie. She's named after my aunt. My third sister's named Sandra. She's named after, I finally get to choose whatever I want to. Yeah? No aunts, no uncles, you get me. But why do you do that? You do it because you want to be associated with. You will never name somebody after someone that you don't like or admire or respect. Right? Because their name reminds you of them. So when we misuse the name of God, we are showing disrespect for the nature and the character of who God is. We're belittling him. We're making him less. That's why God says, you don't do that. Because my name is holy. God's name is holy. The Jews were so respectful that they didn't want to use the name of God. They didn't want to use it. So they came, you know this thing we say, Yahweh? That's the Hebrew variant of this name that nobody can say. And it's not because some have this all mythical stuff, but the reality is they just felt the name of God was so holy they didn't want to say it. So here are the Jews who don't want to say it, and we go, oh, God this and God that and Jesus this and Jesus that. Don't we? Don't we? By abusing his name, we bring dishonor to him and to his character. If we really understand that, we wouldn't do that. Oh, Jesus, you know, that's different. When I'm scared, I call on Jesus. Yeah? Jesus Christ, that's different. All right? I don't like it when people do that. I don't like it at all. And it shouldn't be named among God's people. And so if we're going through the wilderness, God is trying to say, look, you need to respect who I am. Okay? So, Mr., look at this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. And then we say, hallowed. You know that word? I used to think it was Hollywood be thy name. Because I was a kid. I didn't know what it was. Hollywood be, I thought he lived in Hollywood or something. I'm serious, I really didn't, right? But hallowed means your name is holy. This is the Lord's Prayer. And what Jesus said, he said, Jesus, teach how to pray. He said, the first thing you do when you pray is you honor who God is. You get me? You are holy God. What you're doing is as you come into the presence of God, you're reminding yourself that God is in control, that he's holy, that you can't just flip in his name. And by the way, we have a wonderful relationship with God because we can be calm and relax in his presence by the blood of Christ. But don't take him for granted. Don't just be flippant with him because he's holy. Okay? Number two way that you can do this is by using his name to commit evil. I'm just going to mention this one. And this is an example of this. In Acts chapter 19, verse 13, there was all this stuff going on where God's spirit was working and demons were coming out of people. And it says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, these were Jewish people whose job it was to cast out demons somehow. Oh yeah, unbelievers do that, you know. They try the best they can. And they have some minimal success sometimes, but not the way, you know, when they found the power of God casting out demons, they went, hey, this is better than any technique we ever knew. So they decided here, it says they took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord. It doesn't say call on the name of the Lord Jesus. It says call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus who Paul preaches. Now, if I'm a demon, there's two things that happens. I realize these guys don't know who they're talking about. They have no authority. And two, I don't like it. I don't like it. Because I don't like the name of Jesus. There's power in that. And I don't want you messing with it. So, what do you think happened? This is what happens. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Okay? And the evil spirits answered. By the way, if you don't believe in evil spirits, God bless you indeed. But they walk, they talk, and they can make a lot of commotion. And don't think that they're in Haiti. You know, demons are way in. They're always, you know what makes me mad? Demons are in Africa and India, but not in England. Let me tell you something. This is the witchcraft capital of the world. Did you know that? There are more witches in this country than any other country. Did you know that? And we just recently stopped having the witches' convention in Croydon. Every year, witches would get together. Right? In fact, I heard there was a witch magazine. I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah, you heard it here, okay? So, this is what happens. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, But who are you? Now, let me just let you know something about this particular verse. When we say, I know, it's the English word, isn't it? But the Greek word is a bit different. It really reads like this. Jesus, I am very much aware of. I know who he is. Paul, I know about him. I've heard about him. You get that? It's two different Greek words. So what it's really saying is, oh, we know Jesus. And this Paul that we've heard of is driving us crazy. But who are you? Who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You're trying to use the name of Jesus to do your own thing? Let me tell you something. If you don't hallow God's name, sometimes I think really that when people are praying and doing things like that, they're actually acting like they're God, and they're just using the name to get what they want. You know what I mean? I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. Have to do it because it's the name of Jesus. No, it doesn't. If you're not doing God's will, if you're just using his name to do what you want to, that puts you as God and not him. Yeah, something to think about, isn't it? This became known both to all Jews and Greeks. Watch this. Dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on all of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. People went, whoa! You can't just mess with this name, because one, the demons knew who it was. Two, we couldn't cast out demons unless we were right with him. And three, demons were coming out because of him. His name was magnified. Everybody went, wow. Boy, his name meant his character, his holiness, his reference, his power. They understood that Jesus was Lord. And that's what it means. His name was magnified. Okay, there's a third one. This one is interesting. Pretending to serve in his name while failing to do so. That's another way that we profane the name of God. It says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now remember, iniquity is that which is in, right? We talk about sin, it's a word that says what we did. We talk about transgressions, that means you've crossed the line. But iniquity says my heart is bad. And what he's saying is, if you're going to name the name of Christ, there's got to be something changed in your heart. It's got to be different, right? Iniquity. If you don't deal with that, isn't this funny? We're talking about the name of God. And it says here, let everyone who names the name of Christ, because if you are a hypocrite, right, you are ruining the name of Christ. How many times do you hear people, I ain't going to church, it's full of hypocrites? Yeah? How many times have you heard of that pastor who went off with his girlfriend or something like that? I ain't going to church anymore, bunch of hypocrites. They are profaning the name of Christ. Of Jesus. Yeah? By the way, now you understand what the word profanity is, don't you? It comes from that word to profane. And if I go way back here, yeah, to defile, to pollute, to make common, to dishonor. So profanity is defilement. Profanity is pollution. Profanity is when you're making something common. It's when you dishonor, okay? Now let's go all the way forward again. Right? Deep. I'm glad this thing works, by the way. There's three types of profanity. One is what we call swearing. Now, isn't that funny? Because this word, we most of the time are taking out of context today. It almost means something else now. Swearing now just means bad language, generally speaking, doesn't it? But actually, swearing is when you take an oath in vain. And I don't mean in a legal sense, as I said. We're not talking about going to law. But when we're taking an oath. You know what? If somebody says, I swear to God, I swear to God. That's what it's talking about. Because we're rashly swearing. Right? That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. And people do it all the time. We swear. Right? Look at this. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old. Now remember, this is Jesus who's teaching, right? And he's explaining the law. He's explaining. He's saying, I've come to fulfill the law. Let me tell you what it really means. And this is where he says, you've heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord, which is what we just said in the Old Testament, right? Remember I told you that the New Testament explains the old? Look at this. But I say to you, do not swear at all. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses get this wrong, you see? They're saying, oh, we're not going to go to the magistrate. It's not saying when you go to a magistrate, you can't put your hand on the Bible. But it's saying, look, don't do this. Don't do this falsely. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. So you're swearing by heaven? It's God's throne. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. I swear by the ground, right? Nor by Jerusalem. Some people swear by Jerusalem, the holy city, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. So what is he saying? Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. See, what the real issue that he's talking about is being honest. Right? I remember my dad, he's making me laugh. He said, I swear by a stack of Bibles. Why do you need a stack? Right? Because one isn't enough, you see. He's saying it for emphasis, but what you're actually saying is, this time I'm for real. So all those other times that you weren't. And the more you're swearing, I swear to God, I swear to God. When I hear people doing that, I know they're dishonest people. Because if I say something, I don't have to say I swear to God. Because if I say it, I'm going to do it. You get me? But those people, I swear to God. That means, you know, you don't trust me. No, I swear, man. No, I swear to God. You hear me? You understand? That's what's happening all the time. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else more than this, if they don't trust you, something's wrong. You see what Jesus is saying? He's actually letting us understand what it really means to profane God's name. Because when I'm doing that, when I'm standing as a believer and I'm doing that, I'm making his name a mess. Cursing, that's the second one. Cursing is when you apply a curse to someone in vain. God damn it. I'm going to say it right here. God damn it. That's what people say. You think damn is just a joke, people? Right? We go, damn you. Damn, we do that all the time. You need to stop. We need to stop. Because what we're actually saying is go to hell. And don't we say that? And see, our culture's gotten us, hell no. Go to hell. We hear it all the time. Let me tell you something. If you really understood what you were saying, I don't think you'd be saying it. Now, there are real curses. Joshua said it curses the one who builds Jericho. And he did. Right? And there's something that God does. He says, if you are not following Jesus, you're under a curse already. But let me tell you something. It's not for us to do. This isn't what God wants us to do. Oh, that went too far. How did that happen? Yes. This is interesting. Listen to what the scriptures say. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, isn't it? Isn't it? You know what makes me laugh? We even have a plant that's really long with a point on it. It's called mother-in-law tongue. Have you ever seen it? Huh? It's called mother-in-law tongue. I want you to know that my mother-in-law is pretty cool. And by the way, she lives about 8,000 miles away, so I don't have to worry about it anyway. But nevertheless, okay? Listen to what it says. With it, with this tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. And then it says here, I didn't put it down. The next verse it says, then it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. We profane the name of God when we curse people. I really believe that if you understood what we were doing every time we said, God damn you, you wouldn't do it anymore. You wouldn't do it anymore. Makes me think, doesn't it? Makes me think. And this is, you know what? God bless you. You know, this our culture's like this. We learned that sometimes we didn't even realize what we're doing. You know? And then we get flippant with it. So you drop your ice cream on the floor. Damn it. Come on, people. Come on. And then, you know what happens? Once you start getting flippant with it, then text does something you don't like. You say, damn you, text. Don't do that, people. Don't do that. Don't do that. Then, here's the third one. Filthy communication, the Bible says. Vulgar language, harmful words, etc. This is how we profane the name of God, because by doing this, I'm a believer, I'm standing up for Jesus, and filth is coming out of my mouth. It damages the name of God. Listen to this. But you know what? Get mad. But you don't have to sin. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Right? I'm angry. That doesn't mean I have to curse you. That doesn't mean I have to call you something. And by the way, once something comes out of your mouth, you can't take it back. The Bible says, for by your word, I didn't write this down, by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Do you remember that servant? They had one that had 5 talents, one that had 2, one that had 1. And the one that had 5 got 10, and one had the 2 got 4. And then the one buried his stuff in the sand. And he said, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, etc. And so I put it in the sand. He said, by your words, you said it, brother, and you're going to pay. Right? By your own word. Okay. Boom. Have you ever watched Judge Judy? You know, I used to hate Judge Judy because I thought she was arrogant. Right? The woman's just right. Most of the time. Right? And they don't put the ones that she's not right, so she's always right on TV. Right? But Judge Judy, she'll ask a bunch of I'm thinking, why is she asking this question? She'll say, where did she go? How did she do this? When did you do that? And then after she said, you just said this. Doesn't she? Watch the show. It's interesting. It's about the most interesting thing on television these days. I don't know. But she goes, you just said this. Right? By your words, I'm making my judgment. And then she goes, you lied. Doesn't she? Yeah? That's interesting. Listen to what this says. These are just a few verses in the New Testament that talk about what we need to say or not say or do, right? It says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger. And by the way, we're talking about unrighteous anger because God gets angry. There's an anger that you should get mad. If somebody turned around and hit your wife or your husband, you ought to be upset. You know, Jesus isn't saying, oh, you just slapped my wife. Oh, God bless you. No, that upsets me. You trying to hit my wife, you're going to make me mad. But it doesn't mean I sin. You see? But this anger that we're talking about is unrighteous anger. Wrath. You know what wrath, the difference between wrath and anger is? Anger is I'm angry. Wrath says, now I'm going to punch you in the nose. So my wrath is what is the physical manifestation of my anger. See, I can be angry, but not be given to wrath. And by the way, I can give you wrath and not even be angry because I can punch you in your nose just to do it. Bam! I wasn't mad. I just did it. You see what I mean? You see? We can just do that. I've had that happen. I have, right? But now you yourself put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Blasphemy, I didn't put that up there. But blasphemy is one of the major things where we take the name of the Lord God in vain. We're blaspheming, right? You see, these are all in the Old Testament. Then he says, filthy language out of your mouth. What is filthy language? Filthy language is stuff that's filthy. You know what filthy language is. When they talk about sexual things, when they talk about perverted things, right? Filthy language. Isn't that interesting? Look at this one. This is interesting. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. What is a corrupt word? What is a word that's corrupt? Something that is corrupt destroys. You see, it's when it's corrupted, it's destroyed. And what it's saying is, don't let words come out of your mouth that are destructive. Because when you destroy people with your words, it's worse than if you hit them. See, I have a cut on my arm right now. I never forget it. Playing basketball, somebody hit me, bam. I remember it. Doesn't hurt at all. But some of the things that were said to me, they still hurt. Isn't that true? Some of the things, somebody said you were ugly. Man, must go. So I've seen people who are beautiful, and they think they're ugly because someone told they were ugly. I've seen people that are so smart you won't believe, and they have no education, they have no degree, because someone told them they were dumb. Right? They're as smart as anybody, but someone told them they were dumb, and they believe it, and it's destroyed them. Let me tell you, it's real easy when you read the verse to determine what it means. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but instead, opposite, that what is good for necessary edification. Edification is from the word edifice. It means to build up. So if the opposite of corrupt communication is building you up, corrupt communication is when you're tearing people down. Now, if you need to say, that's sin, and I need to break the sin, I got that, right? But we shouldn't be tearing each other down with our words. And you know what? We do it as a joke. You know, we go, Xavier, oh, your shoes are ugly. I was just kidding. No, you weren't. You've been there, haven't you? That's a joke. No, it's not. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So you were at school, some of you were at school, and somebody says, ooh, he's stinky boy. And everyone goes, ah, and now it's like, right? My son, I'm not going to say that. He's going to get, I wouldn't dare say that, right? But I have seen people, right, where somebody says something to them about them in school, and it hurts them dearly, right? Because, and what they do is they pick on some. We had this guy, I'm being honest, right? We had this guy at school, and back in the day, everybody wanted an afro. Well, his father decided to cut all of his hair off and leave it that way. And he had a big head, and they called him Blimp. They did. They called him Blimp. Can you imagine your whole life people calling you Blimp as a kid? And you know what else they do? Kids are cruel. He was on the bus one day, and somebody just slapped him in the head. They did. And then somebody else went and slapped him in the head. And after a while, a whole bunch of kids just started slapping him in the head just because he had a haircut and his head was big. I don't know where he is now, but I wonder. There was a girl in our school. I still remember her. Her name was Deborah Mitchell. No, I'm not going to tell you about Deborah. I'm going to tell you about Rita. Rita McGrew. That was her name. Why do you always have a name like that? It's an interesting name, isn't it? Rita McGrew is the one I remember the most because Rita McGrew was labeled as the third ugliest girl at the school. That's right. I remember it. I just knew. It wasn't anything to do with me. But Deborah Mitchell was the ugliest girl at the school, right? Rita McGrew was the third, I think third or second, right? Now remember, the reason why I'm mentioning Rita, right? And by the way, I'm miles away from home, right? So I don't know what's ever happened to these people. But the reason why I'm mentioning Rita is because eventually Rita grew up and she became voluptuous, right? Her breast grew, her bum grew, she had a small waist and everything like that. And Rita changed, and it wasn't for good. Can you imagine if all the time you're being told you're ugly, and all of a sudden now men are looking at you? You want them, don't you? You want attention, don't you? How many women have had problems because someone told them they were ugly? Right? Oh, I'm just playing. Right? That's why it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. You know, our daughters need to be told that they're special so that they don't run into the arms of the first guy that comes along and says, oh, baby, you're the best. It's a shame that our daughters have never heard, no, you're better. No, you are the best. You get me? It is. And this thing called corrupt communication, it dishonors God's name. Isn't that something? Listen to this one. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, covetousness is greed, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. You think, what does that have to do with it? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. He's saying, filthiness shouldn't be named among us. Foolish talking, we shouldn't be talking like foolish people. Right? Like people who have no God in their thinking. Our language should be different. Somehow, you know, I'm with a bunch of guys, they start talking about women, it changes when I'm with them. You know why? Because I don't let them do it. When they start talking about you ladies and saying, yeah, man, I'm going to get me one, say, son, man, don't do that. What if that was your mom? How would you feel if it was your mother? Oh, it's changed. You know, guys, you ladies, you don't understand it. We see you differently a lot of times. There's a difference between my sister and the girl that I'm looking at like that. You get what I mean? You know, the guy he's looking at like this, then one day, that's his sister. Leave her up. Don't be talking to my sister. Right? We should be treating all women like sisters, like mothers. You get me? And if we don't do it, men get destroyed. And by the way, ladies, then you got to start acting like sisters instead of like something else. Yeah? You see what it says? Foolish talking, coarse jesting. That's this thing where we're just kind of picking at somebody. No, I didn't mean it, Musa. Yes, I talked about you. Yeah, I'm just playing. You know, this is scriptural, folks. This is what the scriptures say, right? Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So all of these things with our words, what we're actually doing that way is we're breaking one of the Ten Commandments, right? Isn't that funny? You never thought about it that way, huh? So, it says, these are not fitting for those who name the name of Christ. Remember, we have the ability to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I've noticed is as soon as you get saved, all of a sudden, God starts changing my language. I become aware of some of the things I'm saying. Now, if we harden our hearts, we lose it. If we harden our hearts, we lose it. So the Holy Spirit will bring it to my remembrance. Ask God to make you aware of these things. And when I'm tempted to swear or profane his name, you see, again, we're trying to go into the promised land, but we still have all this garbage that we haven't dealt with. You get me? That's why it's important. If we're going to move into conquering, we want to conquer, and we're still thinking like we're Egyptians and acting like Egyptians, right? So if we're really going to move into what God has for us, we've got to change the way we live. It's absolutely essential. All right, we've got to change the poison in what we say and the things we say and the judgmental stuff and all that. We got to get out of that stuff. And that's why the Ten Commandments are so important. But that's also why the moral law can only be fulfilled by those who walk in the Spirit. Yeah? And then lastly, access his power by asking him for help. We have power. We have power to change my tongue. The tongue can no man tame, but God can. God can. Right? Ask him for help. You'll be surprised how our language and our attitude can change. I think that's it. Yeah? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. And I'm glad that you're taking us through the wilderness. We're getting to the end because we want to go into the promised land. We want to get to everything that you have for us. So help us to pick it up and to get it and understand it and to be it by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.